life's not fair, work harder. And it serves a great purpose, not just in running and exercise, but whatever you do, business or anything.
Diz Runs Radio episode 437 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, before we dive into today's new episode, after a week of best ofs while I was on vacation, we're back and we're back to new episodes. I do want to give a quick mention to today's sponsor, which is runningshoesguru.com. New sponsor to the show, or newish. This is the second episode that they've sponsored. And one of the things that they're doing and wanting me to help promote is a giveaway. They give away a free pair of running shoes every month. And this month, as we're recording here in July of 2017, the giveaway is for a new pair of Brooks Ravels. Which is a $100 shoe, and you get it for free if you win the giveaway. So all you need to do to enter the giveaway is to head over to runningshoesguru.com/giveaways, and that's giveaways with an S, and it'll give you a little pop-up, and you enter your information right there, and then you actually have some opportunities as well to gain extra entries. So you enter once, and then you can re-enter. If you entered the giveaway last month, you do need to re-enter this month. You need to re-enter each and every month. So head over to runningshoesguru.com/giveaways. Link will be in the show notes, and get yourself entered. I'll tell you a little bit more about the shoes that they're giving away a little bit later in today's episode. But now let's go ahead and get started with today's show. Hey guys, my guest today is somewhat internet famous, or at least internet running community famous, after he was one of the guys that helped carry a runner across the finish line in the 2017 Boston Marathon. But my guest today is much more than just a good guy. He's also a bit of a badass. 6 years ago, he hadn't run a marathon at all. Now he's run 13. He's gone sub 3 hours. He's done Boston a handful of times, and he's also completed, just in the last year or so, an Ironman triathlon, which was something new for him. And he has a goal in the future of maybe trying out for a little bit of American Ninja Warrior. So, you know, like I said, kind of a badass. But anyway, it's a pleasure to be able to welcome Mike Corfidge to the show today. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, thanks, Denny, for having me on. I'm glad to do it.
Oh, the pleasure is certainly mine. And guys, if you want to connect with Mike and see what he's up to and chat with him a little bit, the best place to find him is definitely on Twitter. And his handle there is at KORF, the number 13. So at KORF13. And I'll obviously link to that and link to whatever else that we talk about today that makes sense in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/437. So, Mike, the way we always start off the show is with a very simple and straightforward answer that sometimes has a pretty simple and straightforward, I think I said answer there, but a straightforward question, and it sometimes has a simple and straightforward answer, but sometimes it's not so much, and it gives us just a fun place to start, and it is just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Well, right now, it's by far the marathon, and that's a... It's a race that I was intimidated of for a long time. I haven't been running for an extremely long amount of time. I started running about age 33.
Okay.
And I stopped playing soccer. I played soccer forever. Mm. Played it just as anywhere I could. And then as I got to be an adult, out of college, and I was playing men's leagues and, just pickup games, and it was just a blast. Well, around the age of 31 or 32, the men's league wasn't just a fun league. It was competitive, and which is fine with me, but, I weighed about 145 pounds, and these guys were just massive. So I could see an injury in my future.
Right.
So I had to kind of hang that up, but I'm extremely motivated, competitive. I just love the feeling of competing and working hard and sweating. So I knew I would do something, and running was just my obvious go-to. Since the funny thing is, playing soccer all those years, I never ran. Mm. Like out of season, I never just went on runs. The only time I ran was during practice.
Right.
And during games. And I never really thought about it. I was like, you know, I am running probably 5 or 6 miles a game.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think about it like that. And I had some sort of injury in my back that we tried to massage out through physical therapy, and they asked me to get my heart rate up, maybe work it out internally. So I started running, and I had the ability to finally sign up for local races here in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Triple Crown.
Okay.
And they start off with a 5K. You know, 2 weeks later they do a 10K, and then they do a 10-miler, and then it culminates with the mini marathon and the marathon on the same day. Mm-hmm. For the Derby Festival. And so it's my first – I've done some smaller 5Ks, but it's my first real actually training for a race and running it. So I went down. Me and my wife met my dad, who ran. Mm-hmm. Met him downtown. He said, I'll pick up your all's packet. And it was, you know, it was back when they were still, you know, you're putting your mm-hmm. Tag on the shoe.
Right, right. Kinda.
So he got our packets. He showed us how to put those on, ran the race, and felt great. You know, it was weird. I felt really good at the end, where usually my lungs are burning and I'm dying. And I kind of bragged about it. I was like, yeah, I felt really good. I think I did great. And so I get home, and I wasn't used to the whole checking online to see my time and all that kind of stuff. And I started getting a couple calls from some of the guys that I told what I did, and they were saying, man, you're really slow. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, I did pretty good. I think I might have ran, I don't know, 24 minutes or whatever it was, mm-hmm. 26 minutes. Well, I had my wife's tag on my shoe, and she was just walking the thing, and she had mine. So my time was like 42 minutes
right.
for the 5K. And I said, oh, my gosh, I've been telling everybody how good I did, and here it looks like I just walked the whole thing. So it was funny. The next 2 weeks is the 10K, and my time was almost identical. You know, I got it right that time,
mm-hmm.
so I ran about 42 minutes. Well, it kind of built from there to finally do a mini, which I've always wanted to do. And I did mini marathons for a couple of years, to where I was starting to get better and better and finishing in the top 100. There's a group of guys that go to the church I went to, St. Michael here in Louisville, and they were going on these trips to Chicago.
Mm.
And there was tons of them going. I mean, there must have been 15, 20, 25 people going to Chicago running this marathon. And I'm like, man, you guys are crazy to run that far. And they were saying, well, I don't understand why you don't do it, because you're faster than most of us at a half marathon. Why wouldn't you try a marathon?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get it past my mind how I feel after a half marathon, that I couldn't imagine doing it, you know, twice that.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoy being around these guys. And I said, it just sounds like a fun trip. I'm going to do it. So signed up, trained with them, had a blast, ran Chicago 2011, my first marathon. And, you know, of course I've got lofty goals based off of what I can do in a half, but I've never done a marathon. So kind of crashed and burned a little bit. You know, I still ran respectable. It was, I think 3:27, which to date is my slowest marathon besides Ironman. I mean, it's the slowest I've ever done. And I tell people that a lot. I said, you know, your first one will probably be your slowest, because you learn so much about what fails you and what you can work on. And, you know, what I learn every time is, all right, what muscles failed me during the race, and how can I strengthen those so it doesn't happen again the next time? Or what can I do the next time so my stomach doesn't get upset? And it's just a constant tinkering with it to try to get it right. And man, when you get it close, you never really get it right, but when you get it close to right, it's just unbelievable to finish a marathon under your own power, finishing strong, you know, and you always see those people when you're running one passing you, smiling and waving to the crowd, and you're like, I want to be that guy, not the guy struggling to get here. Mm-hmm. I want to be the one that's really feeling good. And, you know, most of it's about pacing, really.
Right.
It's, I mean, that's – and mentally. I mean, the race is really mental.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm strong mentally, but it took me a while to get that strong mentally. You know, it takes some of the trials and tribulations to go through, and the pain and the suffering and the disappointment,
mm-hmm.
to get through that. And once you get through it, you know, it's like training. Once you get through the hard stuff, you're better for it. So I love the challenge of a marathon. Mm. And I've always said I don't have any aspirations to run further, you mm-hmm. know, do an ultra, even though it was funny. I was talking to a guy today, Jonathan Lundy, who has done, you know, 100 milers.
Mm.
And it's just amazing to me that these guys can run that far. You know, I don't even like to drive that far.
Right.
But I told him, I said, I don't want to do one, but in a way I would do it just for the mental challenge of it. Not the physical, but just to see, you know, how the mind plays those games with you, how it starts to barter with you and tell you, hey, you know, you don't have to do this. Let's just get out of here. And
mm-hmm.
kind of the same things that go with every race. You know, the mind's always the mind is always telling you what it wants you to do. It's not your body really that's saying,
right,
I'm hurting. It's your mind. You know, there's always something left. So I've read a couple books, you know, on mental strength, and I think it's just awesome to be able to learn from those things and teach kids. You know, kids have no idea what mental strength is. You know, they're not experienced enough to really know mental strength. And when you see a kid, when you see a young kid that actually has a little bit of mental strength, it's refreshing, you know.
I agree with everything you're saying, and my struggle. I've said this several times. People that listen to the show know, and they also know that I can't let this opportunity pass by without asking the question. But my struggle is definitely mental. You know, there's sometimes in training, I'm better on race day at trying to push through. But even on race day, sometimes, you know, like it just gets you, especially for the longer stuff, like you said, the marathon and things of that nature. You mentioned a couple of books. I guess maybe a two-part question, which is probably not the best way to ask a question, but you know, it is what it is. Were there for you developing the mental strength and the tenacity or the whatever you want to call it to help you, you know, keep going and keep pushing and keep driving on your training runs on race day, etc. Was that something that took? Was it a lot of learning by experience, kind of have to take your lumps early with some of those struggles and learn to overcome them. And then kind of part two, like you said, you mentioned a couple of books you read. What were those books, just for people that are, like myself, that maybe would be looking for a couple of resources that they could check out, you know, of the ones that you read? Are there a couple that are really kind of stand out that were really impactful and powerful for you?
Well, the first part, I probably get most of my mental strength and grit and no quit attitude from my father. Mm. You know, my father's, his nickname, which he's pretty well known around here, his nickname is Batman. And he's 72 and he's about as fit as you can get for 72. I mean, the guy is amazing. You know, he goes to the gym nearly every day, scheduled. You know, he's a co-owner of our company, and he's the first one here in the morning, opens up, gets his crews out, you know, checks on jobs, mm-hmm. makes some calls, and then every day around noon or so, he's scheduled. That's on his schedule to go to the gym. And you know, it's just to see his dedication and the way he's taught me and my brother growing up, you know, life's not fair.
Mm.
You know, you got to overcome. You got to, you know, just even in our business, you know, right, working in this business, it would be easy for the boss's son to take the cushy job or to do, you know, leave early or mm-hmm. whatever. But he's always told us, you'll never get the respect by being the boss's son, by doing taking the easy way out. You always got to work harder mm-hmm. to gain that respect. And, you know, his whole life with us has been life lessons. There's always a life lesson to be learned on something. So he's been a great inspiration mm-hmm. for me. And he's actually traveled with me to, you know, I've done Boston 4 years in a row, and he's been there every year. Just me and him go up together, and it's a great time. And it's just, you know, like I said, that's where I get my I've got a shirt that my brother got me, and my dad saw it, and he liked it, and he wanted me to get him the same shirt, because on the shirt it says, nobody cares, work harder.
Mm.
And it's so true, you know, I'm on Strava. I like to connect with other runners and give them props for what they're doing, because I have respect for the training that mm-hmm. they go through. And so, you know, I'll post what I'm doing mainly to keep track of what I'm doing. But, you know, there's a lot of people that just post stuff and to show off or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if you think about it, nobody really cares. If you're really committed to training, forget about all that stuff. Forget about, you know, kudos and stuff. I mean, that's great. I like it. But just work harder. You know, life's not fair. Work harder. And it serves a great purpose, not just in running and exercise, but whatever you do, business or anything. So he's been my motivator to get, you know, kind of get going with this running and being strong and providing strong foundation for family and everything like that. So the books, you know what, the most recent book, probably that I can remember right now that I think is a great book, you know, and it's got so many good points in it, is How Bad Do You Want It?
Mm.
By Matt Fitzgerald, mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
That book, I mean, I could probably burn out a highlighter, you know, lighten that book up. It's got, I've given it to my dad. He's going through it. It's got such great stories. And that's what I want to read about. When I read a book about, you know, mental strength and overcoming and things, I want to hear those stories. Mm-hmm. You know, those stories are out there. I don't want to hear just people tell me, you know, what to do and what not to do. I want to hear the stories of the underdogs and the people that did this or that, that didn't think they could, but overcame it. You know, those are the kind of stories that really make you think,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's awesome.
Right.
So that's been a great book, I think.
Gotcha. You're not the first person who's mentioned that book, and it's certainly on my list of books that I probably need to maybe bump up the list to check out and read it.
Oh, because, definitely.
You know, like I said, that's
he's
it.
Got,
go ahead.
He's got one of the best quotes in there that I use all the time. And I'm sure I'll butcher it by trying to remember it, but it's the basis of it is it talks about, you know, mental strength and your cardiovascular system and all that kind of stuff. And it's not, I wish I could phrase it right, and I'll send it to you so you know, but it's basically the brain, you know, the mind is the organ that's in charge of, you know, your cardio. Mm-hmm. It's not your lungs. Your lungs are pumping away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, it's your brain. Because your brain's saying, "What are you doing to me? You know, I'm tired. Let's slow it down." The lungs, man, the body, the lungs, the muscles—they're firing. They're like, you know, the body's meant to work. The body is meant to work,
mm-hmm.
and it's the brain that's the enemy. It can be a great ally. I mean, it can get you through a lot of things, but it can also be, you know, it's like having the devil and the angel on your shoulder,
mm-hmm. right?
And it's the same thing. You know, it's always putting those little things out there like, all right, let's man, let's slow it down. You know, it's hot today.
It's hot, or right.
This is a hill coming up. Let's slow down. You know, all that kind of stuff that you got to push out, push it out of your head and just do what you have to do. Mm. So,
yeah, no, that's great. And, certainly like I was saying, it's a book that's come highly recommended before, and maybe I need to, one of these days, I'm going to get enough recommendations of that book that I'm just going to go out and get it and actually read it, and then probably be, you know, kicking myself. Why didn't I do this 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago, whatever the case may be. But, I'm curious from what you said earlier about when you first got started, your dad was a runner, and obviously he's been an influence in you in more ways than one. Does he still run?
I tell you, there's a great story. He I think he ran a couple marathons. You know, his favorite distance was like a 30K.
Okay.
You know, it's like pushing the limits, but not quite, you know,
right,
breaking yourself down for the marathon. Mm-hmm. And he was a great, half marathon runner. So I ran, I haven't run many half marathons because I've enjoyed training and running these marathons. Mm-hmm. And there was one local, and I said, you know, I'm going to run this because I haven't run one in a while. And it was a good training run for me. And I ended up PRing without, I mean, I ran hard, but I didn't try, you know, I didn't train for right. it and try to PR it, but I ran like 125, and I told him, I said, yeah, I PR'd that half, you know, last week. And I said, there might be some more in the tank. I might have to try to lower that before I get too old. And he said, man, 125. He goes, that's only 2 minutes slower than my PR.
Uh-oh. Throwing down the gauntlet.
Yeah. So I, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize it. I knew he had had a low time. You know, he ran 123. And I said, oh, well, now the bar has been set. So
yes.
I'm sure, you know, with the nature of our family dynamic, I'll be searching one out here in the next couple of years to see if I can catch him.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, he, you know, he's gone with me every year to Boston. And, you know, it's so inspiring for me and him. And he always parks himself about mile 25, just past the sit-go sign, you know, so I know where he's going to be. I can wave to him. And then this year, you know, the funny thing was before we, you know, about the whole Boston thing this year, you know, helping carrying that guy, there were so many things that had to happen for me to be in that situation. Usually I run past my dad, wave, you know. Well, this year, I was on antibiotics for the week before, and since have found out that the particular antibiotic I was on can actually weaken your tendons. And I didn't know it. So that was where my pain came about mile five. You know, it was not my Achilles, but inside. I think there's a posterior tibialis or something in there it was killing me. And I hobbled through, you know, about 12 more miles. And anyway, when I got to him, the time goal was out the window. I wasn't getting a sub three. So I said, all right, you know, I'm just running. So I had the opportunity to actually run over to him. I mean, he's got me on video running to him, embracing, giving a hug, telling him I love him. You know, this is awesome. Well, the crazy thing is, watching that video over and over, I can actually see the guy that we carried pass me up on that street. And then I get back into my run and, you know, and head toward Boylston. So, before I get into that, you know, talking to him about everything that happened, you know, we were at the finish line late that night watching runners come in, you know, 6-7 hours after the race started. Just most of them were probably walking, running really slow. And he was like, how are these people still doing this? And I said, well, you know, they're some of them are charity runners, and they raise money, and then they get to get in the race. And so I could see his interest peak a little bit. And we had the same kind of conversation after Ironman. It's it's an inspiring race to watch. And right after the race, you're like, man, I want to do that. So I said, what are you thinking about running a marathon? And he goes, it's always been my dream. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll reach out to whoever I can and try to secure you a charity bib. And he just had his hip replaced maybe a year and a half or so ago. But he's in better shape now.
Right.
After that. And I mean, the guy was up and walking the day they replaced it. You know, it's amazing. And he said, as long as I get clearance from my doctor, he said, I wouldn't mind, I thought, you know, doing a trying a marathon. And I said, well, let's try to secure a bib and I'll run it with you and we'll do a sub six. You know, forget about sub three. We're doing sub six. I'm taking the video camera. We're going to have a great day. So that's kind of been a motivation. He's always up for the next challenge, no matter what. And that's kind of been, you know, a mission of ours to, and I've contacted a couple charities and I think most of them don't really start their process till later, later in the year. But, you know, talk about something that would just be incredible to run that race with my dad.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
So yeah, he's running a little bit, you know, he ran 2.5 miles the other day. He runs while he works out. He does a couple miles, but, I'm going to start running and run walking with him. We might do like a 2 minutes on, 1 minute off kind of thing or just whatever. Cause I told him, I said, you know, you can walk. If you walk a fast pace, you know, you could walk 14, 15 minute pace. And that's all 14 something is all you would need for 6 hours.
Right, right.
So in reality, you can, if you walk fast, then anybody can do a marathon.
Yep.
And you throw in a little bit of jogging here and there, and all of a sudden you're 13 or whatever, then you're under six. So I think that's the goal.
Oh, that'll be really cool. That'll be a lot of fun. Mike, I definitely want to get into all things Boston in just a second, but first I need to give it a quick shout out and pay a couple bills and thank once again runningshoesguru.com for sponsoring today's episode. This month they're giving away a free pair of New Balance Revels. I hope I'm saying that right. Revels, whatever, however I'm supposed to say it. They're giving away a pair of shoes that have been rated very highly. They're a 5-star shoe according to the reviews on runningshoesguru.com. And here's kind of the closing remarks about this particular shoe. I'm reading, end quote, "In reality, what Brooks has in the Revel is a quality, lower-priced trainer that is similar to their Ghost. Any runner looking for a cushioned, neutral ride would be crazy to not consider the Revel as an option for them. The bang-for-your-buck meter is off the charts with this one." And that's end quote there. So, you know, if you're a fan of Brooks, if you're looking for a new shoe, you know, this might be a shoe that would be worth your while to buy and try, but you can also win it for free if you head over to runningshoesguru.com/giveaways. And again, that's giveaways with an S, and you get yourself entered there. And once again, as I mentioned in the opening, you can get yourself a couple of other opportunities to add more entries, more numbers to be pulled, if you will. Once you get registered for the first time, then they shoot you an email. You'll get some details, some things you can do to share it, promote it, and that'll give you other opportunities as well. So special thanks to runningshoesguru.com for sponsoring today's episode. And whatever you're looking for, whether you're New Balance, whether you're Nike, whether you're Ultra, whatever it might be, whatever your shoes are, you know, you can always check out their reviews over there. Know that they're unbiased and they're very, very good, very detailed reviews of all shoes, all running shoes at runningshoesguru.com. So anyway, but before we get into, you know, a little bit more about this year's Boston, I would love to just kind of backtrack just a hair, because Boston is a big goal, like, you know, the running goal pretty much for me is to qualify for Boston. I've still got plenty of work to do. Like I said, I need to get that Matt Fitzgerald book and start working on that mental piece a little bit. Anytime I talk to somebody who's run Boston, especially somebody who's run it several times, I always have to kind of pick your brain a little bit about what's, you know, just in the overview of Boston itself and the four times that you've run it, you know, what's, I don't want to say other than the obvious of just the fact that it's Boston, but what is the one or two things that make that race special enough that you keep going back every year to do it again and you know, maybe next year run it with your dad? Like what are your kind of personal highlights of just the Boston experience in the four times that you've done it so far?
Well, it all started, let's see, I qualified about my, I think it was my third or fourth marathon at Marine Corps Marathon in 2012. And during Hurricane Sandy, You know, it was incredible race. It was incredible windy. And I remember the feeling of actually crossing that line. And I was, you know, 2 or 3 minutes under my time. It was just unbelievable to think, oh my gosh, I can go to Boston now. You know, just something I've heard about, you know, and I knew a guy in, when I was in college that had ran it, you know, and it was like, wow, you know, you ran Boston. So it's always been out there. Never really thought it was attainable until recently. And I qualified, you know, probably a couple weeks after the window closed to register. So I did not get to go in 2013, and that was the year of the bombings.
Right.
So I had a lot of people call me that day. They thought I was up there running. I said, no, I qualified for next year. And, you know, that just stoked the fire even more. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't wait to go now and show these people the support I'm going to give for this race. You know, people are like, I'm scared to go. And I said, are you kidding me? That's probably going to be the safest place in the world.
Right, exactly.
Next year. And it was. I mean, it was very well. I mean, they're always top class up there. So I hate that I missed out on the 2013 jacket. You know, I've had some from 2014, 15, and 16. There's been some odd colors, and I want a blue and yellow jacket so bad. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine, Stephen McFarland, that I run with. And he's got one. And I told him, I said, don't you leave that jacket in my truck. I said, I'll take it. I love it. And this year, I finally got a blue one, which was close to blue and yellow, but it's now my favorite one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, getting there and then running the race, being in that race, and, you know, I have trouble with it every year. The first year, it was hot. Mm-hmm. And the downhills kill me every time. I love hills. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would absolutely love running. I just found out there's a race up there. I think it was last week. It's a 7.5 mile race all uphill, 4,600 feet of elevation. Ooh. I said, man, that is the race I want to run. Just total uphill climb. But downhills are so hard on me. You know, I'm not a young spring chicken where I can run like a kid with my arms flailing down a hill.
Right.
So downhills always get me. Next year I ran it for fun and it was cold and rainy, but I ran better and I enjoyed it. So then the third year I said, all right, I'm back on trying to get a low time again. And my GPS watch malfunctioned. So I'm looking at my pace thinking I was dead on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was right at 2:59, feeling great. Well, then I realized every time I got to a mile marker, they were further and further away. And I said, I know I'm not, you know, I wasn't running perfect tangents, which is impossible to do at Boston because of the crowd.
So many people.
You can't cut the corners. But I mean, that course isn't that far off. I mean, it's measured to the exact. So I said, what is going on? So by the time I got to mile 20, my watch said mile 21.
Ooh, you weren't that far off.
Yeah, I was a whole mile off. So then I realized, oh my gosh, that means that my pace is slower than what I think it is. So, I mean, I just hauled it to the finish. I mean, the last 4 or 5 miles were really quick. And I was feeling good, but I got 3:01. And I said, man, you know, and I felt good. So this year was the big, all right, I've done, had all the ups and downs with it. I said, this year, and I was ready for it. So then, you know, I had the antibiotics that kind of cost me, but I wouldn't change a thing. The way things turned out, you know, the way I was able to help that guy, you know, and the publicity that the charity I run for got out of it, you know, there's not one thing I would change. I wouldn't change a 240. For what, you know, what I got out of that. It was pretty amazing.
When you mentioned that with the video from your dad that you could see the guy pass behind you. Was he still going all right at that point, or was when the video, could you tell he was struggling?
Yeah, he was struggling hurting, but he was running. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just I don't know what his pace was, but it was just constant pace going past me. And man, I turned and I was cramping. My right side calf started cramping because my left side was what was hurting. Mm. So I'm sure I compensated mm-hmm. for 15 miles. So around, I cramped up. I remember turning on Hereford to turning that right and cramping to where I had to stop and push my heel down to get the cramp out. Mm. And then you get the crowd, don't stop
go,
now.
Go, you're almost there.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to stop. I said, let me just get this out. And then I picked it up, turned left on Boylston, and it's just euphoric. When you get on that street, you're at the, it's a long way, but
right.
It's like there's nothing that can stop you now. And I see the guy running forward, but leaning to the right. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to run forward, but his body was falling to the right. And I said, you know what? My goal's gone. I can't get it. Let me get up here and get on this guy's shoulder and be his support, and we'll just cruise on in. So I get up there, and right when I get to him, there's another guy that's trying to pull him up. Mm-hmm. And his legs were just like jello. He almost couldn't stand until we braced him. Then they really went to jello. It was almost like, people are here to help me. I'm done.
Right.
So he went down, and there's two military guys. And from the story I got, those guys walk the whole thing. They start, several hours earlier than the start of the race, and they walk the entire race. And there was groups of them, of two, they were really young guys, and walking in their fatigues and their boots and everything. They were there to help. And then this other guy that I met, or that I've since met from West Virginia, he was there. So the guy's going down, and he goes down to his knees, and then he kind of sits down. And all these runners are running past us. Don't move him. Go get help.
Right.
Giving me all this. They're giving me all this talk about what I should do. As they're just cruising on past to the finish line, they're they're not stopping to help. They're telling me what to do. And I said, no. I said, I'm here helping this guy. We're going to get him to the finish. We had about 200 yards to go. So I looked at him and I said, I've got a picture I sent you. His head's laying on my foot. Mm. And I said, do you want me to get you some medical, or do you want to finish this race? And his eyes weren't even focused on me, but he said, I want to finish. Mm. So I told the military guys, I said, let's get him up. Picked him up. They each got him on their, he was in between them two.
Right.
And then me and the other guy were on the outsides, and we started running. And I was more supporting the military guy. He had most of the weight. Mm. And I said, I'm going to help you because you got most of the weight. I'm pretty much supporting you now. So we went about almost 100 yards, and I looked back, and his feet are just dragging. Mm. And I said, this ain't going to work. So I picked up a leg. The other guy saw me. He goes, yeah, he picked up a leg, and it was 100 more yards to the finish. And my calf was cramped so bad that my toe was pointing up. Mm. I couldn't get it to release. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? Drop him and massage my calf, or have somebody carry me now? I said, you just got to – that's part of the mind power. Mm-hmm. If that calf cramps up like that during the race, then I stop and stretch it. But in that moment, you don't because you can't. So we ran across the finish line. The crowd's going crazy, and we set him down. I'll tell you what, you can watch real-time – video of the finish line video. Mm-hmm. I think it's on maybe NBC Sports or some app. And we set him down over the finish line. And because I thought about setting down before, and I've heard the talk about he should finish under his own power and everything. I tell you what, the guy had already run 26.2. There's not many people there that once you get to 200 yards out, you haven't already run 26.2.
Right.
You know, usually you're at 26.3 or 4 when you finish the race.
Mm-hmm.
So we set him over the finish line, and they go, bring him to the wheelchair. And I'm like, hey, why don't you bring the wheelchair up here? So you see us on the video, pick him up again and carry him to the wheelchair and set him down. And then he disappeared. He was gone. And I talked to the guy that helped me. And then there was another guy that came through, a cancer survivor. And he's like, that was awesome. He goes, that was incredible, you know, what y'all did. And I didn't really think about it. It was just something that I would have done. You know, if I was at 259 and I saw that guy, I'm not saying I would have stopped. Mm-hmm. I would have been focused on that finish line and just cruised, you know, just try to hit it.
Right.
But I wasn't. You know, I was at 307 or whatever it was by then. So I had the ability to stop and help. And, you know, what if the next guy stops and helps and they don't pick him up? They leave him there, and then medical comes and take him off the side, and he doesn't finish the race. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can say, what if? But the reality of it is, at that moment, I don't think about the race anymore. I think about getting this guy some help. So we got him across the line, and it took me about 3 days to finally track him down. Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me a thing from LinkedIn, which I'm not even on, but I had to download it to get a hold of him. And I said, is this the Jake Mogan that I helped at Boston? And he said, it was funny. He goes, yes, this is the guy that ran 26.1 miles, you know, kind of joking about it. And so I called him and we talked, and his body temperature was 108, which I've never even heard of.
That's,
you know,
that's dangerous level right there.
That's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, 105 is extreme danger.
Right.
So a lot of things could have happened. And they said they rushed him to the hospital and gave him an ice bath, mm-hmm. 3 IVs, and he said he's never felt better after a race from the treatment he had, you know, after. So it was just incredible. And then, you know, like I said, I didn't think much about it after the race. I go, we stayed at a hotel right past the finish. It was a great hotel called the Taj. And I went up there. Dad got me some ice and got a chocolate milk downstairs, and I wanted to get my feet up mm-hmm. for a little bit before I came back down and saw some of the guys I knew that were running. And when I was up there later, it was an hour or so later, after me and a buddy I was staying with, Pat Mongeau, he roomed with us, I started getting some text and some stuff on Twitter about this, and because I was telling my daughter about it, and she found it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I think it was when the governor, you know, sent the video out and sent that to me. And from there, it went crazy, because when they first identified me, they could only see 3 of my numbers on my bib. So they called me some other name from Ecuador. And I've got some pretty dark skin, so I can see, you know, they might have mislabeled me or whatever, but they said, I don't know what they called me, Francisco something from Ecuador helps this guy. And my son emailed him and said, no, that's my dad, you know, from Louisville. And they changed. And from there, they got everybody's name right. But it was a funny story.
Wow. And it's, I mean, clearly for a whole host of reasons, but something that, you know, another one of those Boston moments that you'll never forget. A lot of people never forget, but certainly you lived it. You'll never forget that one.
I won't ever forget it. And there's only been 2 marathons that I've taken my shirt off because of the heat. Mm. You know, usually I run we had a regular shirt. I run for an organization called Team Molly, and they raise money for special needs children. And it's a great idea they have, because insurance doesn't pay for everything. Mm. You know, there's a lot of loopholes and a lot of things that these parents can't get stuff they need for their special needs child without some extra help. So they raise money and they supply this kind of help to these families. And I said, man, what a, and the guy is just an, there's an amazing family that goes to our church, JoJo and Robin Johnson. And so I knew taking that shirt off running was going to cost me some, usually the on the shirt it says Team Miley. So probably 5 to 10 times per mile I hear go Team Miley from the crowd. And that just fuels you because it's really easy to read. It's yellow shirt with black lettering, you know, and they, and up in Boston, they don't say go Team Miley. They say go Team Molly. So every time really I hear it, I'm like, yes, there's another one. There's another one. So I knew taking it off would cost me that, but it was hot. So I was like, all right, I'm out. Took it off. And after the fact, I said, like, man, I wish I had that shirt on with all this publicity I'm costing them. You know, and it turned out the local news got a hold of me at the airport and they said, you know, we'd like to interview you. And I told them the story about Team Molly. And I think actually taking the shirt off turned that into a bigger story than what it was. Mm-hmm. So they got some really good publicity out of it.
Good, good.
So that was good.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's one of those things where, like I said, it's something you'll never forget, and certainly something where, you know, there's always other races, and this one wasn't going great for you as well, but, you know, you could have saved a guy's life. I mean, it's realistically at that type of body temperature, like that's a realistic thing. So kudos to you for being a good person on top of being a good runner.
Well, thanks. And I've learned a lot from a lot of the runners that I've run with. You know, there's so many that have given me great advice, you know, and there's a guy, Tracy Edgerton, who I run with a lot, and he's kind of the leader. You know, he kind of got me into running marathons, and he's got such great knowledge of perseverance and helping people out. You know, he coaches girls cross country here in Louisville. And I tell you what I actually thought of when I saw that guy. I don't know if you've ever seen the video. There's a local girl that runs for University of Louisville. And I think she might have since graduated, but she was running in their ACC championship cross country race. And she might have not had the best time that she was hoping for, but there's a video, and you're talking about colleges competing against each other. This isn't like she helped her teammate.
Right.
She comes up on this girl that is on the ground. Her legs just won't even function. And her and another girl helped this girl from another college finish a cross-country race, the championship race, right? ACC, finish the race. And her name's Rachel Pease. And it's the first thing I thought of when I hit that moment of I can help this guy like she helped that guy. And I sent her a message. I said, listen, you know, you're one of the first people I thought about when this happened. You know, I remember what you did and how heroic and how selfless that was for you to stop, you know, sacrifice your time. Because, I mean, everybody's running for time.
Right.
You know, there's 30,000 people in the Boston race, and every one of them has an idea of what they want to run. Or, you know, every second matters. Nobody's starting their watch a minute before the start line. They're starting right when they cross it, and they're stopping it right after. So everybody's worried about time. But some people aren't. You know, some people go above and beyond, and she was an inspiration.
It is a great whole thing. I mean, obviously you and her and just, I mean, it's one of those stories that, you know, I feel like we've all heard about them a few times. Like they happen every once in a while, like somebody in a race just does something that is so selfless, and it's not something that should be overlooked or brushed under the carpet. It's something that we need to talk about more. So again, kudos to you for doing that and for Rachel and for everybody who's, you know, stopped to help somebody out or make sure that they're okay before they keep going. You know, just being selfless is a good trait, and sometimes something that we lose sight of and you know, when we just get so focused on our own goals, we maybe stop to think about the bigger picture sometimes. But anyway,
yeah.
As we're getting kind of close to wrapping up here today, Mike, the way I like to kind of finish off these chats is with something that I call a philosophical question. So nothing to be worried about, but just a very open-ended kind of a generic question to just kind of put a nice little bow on things today. And I, you know, again, like I said, open-ended. I've had folks that have answered these in a couple of words. I've had some that, you know, take an extra 10 or 15 minutes by the time I ask the question, and we're still going 10 minutes later, and everything in between, and all of which are perfectly okay. You know, it's just kind of the last little thing here, and then we'll kind of wrap this thing up. But I'd just be curious, in the in the 10 plus years that you've been a runner, what has the sport, the community, the people that you've run with, whatever, what have you learned about yourself in the time that you've been running that maybe, you know, that obviously that you didn't know beforehand, maybe, you know, would have been one of those lessons that you would have never learned if you didn't get into this this crazy sport that we all know and love so much?
Well, for one, it's an amazing way to really meet a lot of good motivated people. Mm-hmm. And not just meet them, but, you know, especially when you run with them. You know, we ran 19 miles today, and it's a long time, you know, 2.5 hours to be out there with a group of people. You really get to hear, you know, life stories and funny things and tribulations and all kinds of things that go into, you know, some people want to talk about. And I love the attitude of runners. You know, there's just a no quit, you know, nothing's going to stop me attitude. Now there's some that run and don't really like it, but do it because they feel like they have to.
Right.
But I mean, a true runner, you know, will get what they need to get out of running. It's always there for you. It's always good to you. If you're good to it, mm-hmm. you know, there's ways to get in trouble. There's ways to overtrain. And I've learned through the years that you can't always run hard. You know, you gotta, especially as you get older, you gotta take it easy. And I'm in between marathons right now, and it's a great opportunity for me to get to run what I want. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a set plan. You know, the past couple of years I've been working with a running coach, which I would recommend to everybody. You know, I've got a running coach that I've used for about 2 years, and the things that he can get me to do, I don't know if I could have done on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like pushing the boundaries. It's like, whatever you think you can do, do this a little more. And, you know, you're scared, but then you do it and you're like, oh, well, I can do that.
Right.
You know, the guy's name is Steve Stamm. He's on Twitter at Stammgator, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've never met him. I've only talked to him on the phone, I think, twice. But we communicate through text and Twitter and email. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was about, what else can I do that I haven't done to get better? And the obvious thing was, I need some professional help. Even though I'm not a professional athlete, you know, it's like taking golf lessons.
Mm-hmm.
If I play golf and I'm just slicing every time, even though I'm not a professional, it helps to get a little bit of help
mm-hmm.
to teach you. And he's taught me a lot. So I'm in between training, and it's allowed me to enjoy running. You know, it seems like I was telling the guy today, I've kind of been training for the past 2 years. We've done 3 marathons a year, mm-hmm. and then I did Ironman. You know, so it's always like in and out of
something,
training.
Right.
It was never really off. And I tell you what, the one marathon we do, a friend of mine from here moved to Houston, and we did the Houston Marathon,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible and fast. And he works for Chevron. They're mm-hmm. the sponsor.
Right.
So there's 11 of us that go down to his house. His wife and kids leave and go stay at a hotel for the weekend, and it's a guy's weekend. You know, some of the guys say this would be a hell of a trip if we didn't have to run. But VIP treatment, you know, we line up right behind the elites. Mm. I mean, we were right behind Meb. It
wow.
was incredible. And you're talking about guys that we were taking selfies, and, you know, there's a couple guys that are 6-hour marathoners with us, and we're right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
But these adventures that you can go on just by running, you know, these destination runs that we've done. You know, we're going to Milwaukee this fall, rented a house up there. Mm-hmm. We're going to go up and hang out for a couple of days and then get it on Sunday and party after. But it's those kind of friendships have been awesome. And then it's motivating, you know, because we've got, you know, you get in a group text with runners or whatever, and you can say, hey, you know, I'm meeting here. Do you want to go run? Or have you been running lately? Or, you know, you can kind of pick people up. And we started a thing recently. Me and Tracy started this thing called Thirsty Thursday. Mm. And we've got, you know, there's a couple runners that like to drink beer more than they run. But to get them to run, I might have to offer a beer. So we meet at a bar here in Louisville called Third Turn on Thursdays. And from there, we go out and run 5 miles, come back, go in and have a beer. Mm-hmm. And it's been great because there's no pressure. There's no, we're going to run this pace. Right? Everything's easy. It's really a chance to get more people out to run. Because I'm a big believer in running is good for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I even believe, you know, you're always going to hear running's bad for your knees. It's bad for your knees. Well, maybe, but I'll tell you what's worse for your knees is being out of shape and right. overweight mm-hmm. is worse for your knees. I mean, there's so many good things that running has to offer. You know, it's just so great. And, I will do everything I can to promote it because mm-hmm. I think it's important. I think it's important for kids.
Right.
You know, how many kids think about how a kid's way of thinking when they run. Run hard, fast as you can, till you get tired, stop.
Right.
Well, what they teach you is in cross country, all right, run easy for a little bit. All right, pick it up. Now mm-hmm. slow it down, but keep going. Don't stop.
Right.
And man, when they get that, when they say, you know, when they're used to running a half mile and like, oh, how much further to, wow, we just ran 2 miles or we just ran 3 miles. It's breaking down walls, breaking down barriers of what you think you can do and what you actually can. Mm-hmm. So I'm always a big believer in promoting the sport and trying to get as many people as I can into it. It's done wonders for me. And, I love it.
Mm. Well, you are in good company here, my friend, because I am the same way. So thanks again, obviously, today, Mike, for taking the time. And it was a great way to wrap things up. Again, guys, on the Twitter, at Korf, isn't it the first part of his last name there? At K-O-R-F, the number 1, the number 3, Korf13. On the Twitter, dizruns.com/437. We'll have some you know, obviously we'll have his connect to the his link there to Twitter. We'll connect to that. Maybe try to pull up the video if we can find it of the finish line so you can see him carrying the guy across the finish line, and obviously have some pictures and stuff as well. So,
hey, Denny,
yes, sir.
That 13 at the end of my name, mm-hmm. the significance of that is when I was in high school and I played soccer, and you always hear 13 is unlucky, right?
Right.
Well, that's my belief was in high school, people were like, why are you choosing number 13? Why are you choosing number 13? And I said, well, it's unlucky to everybody. And they said, well, why are you choosing? I said, well, it's not unlucky to me. So when somebody sees me with a 13, it's unlucky for them because I'm getting ready to take this ball down and score on them. So 13 is unlucky to them, not to me.
It
was weird how that came about, but you know, that's kind of the process of having some mental strength, even at a younger age, you know, thankful to my parents that I'm not going to let a number be unlucky to me. I'm going to make it unlucky for this other guy.
Yeah. Perfect. And great way to take it full circle to the mental strength, part of the chat from the very beginning too. So that's great. Again, guys, dizruns.com/437 is the link for the show notes. We'll have everything there. You can find it. And that's that. So thanks, Mike, again, for taking the time today. Certainly appreciate it. And, you know, I obviously all the best going forward. Keep doing what you're doing. It's inspiring others. You know, hope things work out with your dad. You get to run Boston with your dad this year. That would be great. But certainly looking forward to staying in touch and seeing what the future holds for you.
And I really appreciate the conversation, and I'd like to give one major shout out to my wife, who allows me to train and run. I mean, really, it's a, you know, I get up early. Mm-hmm. I try not to mess up family dynamic because, you know, it can get in the way if you let it.
Right.
You know, the same way with training for Ironman, that can be a very selfish thing, but she has worked with me and, like I said, allowed me this awesome ability to run when I, and she knows, you know, if I don't get a run in, I'm, you don't want me around the house.
Right.
But she's been awesome, and my family's been great for the support, and I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Yes, and I think that all of us have the people in our lives, whether it's spouses, partners, kids, families, however, whatever the case may be, that we all, you know, great reminder that we all owe a little bit of debt of gratitude to the folks in our lives who put up with us and the craziness.
Exactly.
That we do.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. Pay it forward.
Indeed, sir. So again, Mike, thanks for the time, and nothing but the best going forward.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. Hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Mike and myself. And as always, I would love to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your takeaway? What was the thing that caught your ear the most when you were listening to our conversation today? For me, it was something that kind of what Mike said, but also kind of, you know, something that he didn't necessarily say that is my takeaway, a little blend of both. And it goes back to that clip I pulled to start the episode with, where Mike was talking about how life's not fair and you need to work harder. And on one hand, I totally agree with him. You know, there's a lot of things in life, both in running, in relationships, in family, in business, and that's whether you are self-employed or an entrepreneur or you're an employee or whatever. There's so many things in life where, you know, you get out of it what you put into it. And you know, the harder you work, the more successful you're going to be, the more progress you're going to make. But there also comes a point in running and in a lot of other things where if something's not working, continuing to double down and continue to work harder on what you're doing that isn't working isn't always the best bet. So I guess my takeaway is just kind of that reminder that we need to always be aware. We need to maybe have an outside perspective once in a while. And that can be from a coach, that can be from a running partner, that can be from a spouse, a partner, whatever. But just having that external perspective sometimes to have somebody that is in your corner, that wants to see you succeed, and that can maybe tell you, hey, you know what? Maybe you need to take a step back right now. Maybe this isn't working quite like you thought. So how can we tweak it a little bit so you can continue to work hard? You know, I'm not encouraging you to not work hard, but if doing this one workout seems to always result in you becoming injured, or if you're not maybe having enough easy days in your routine and you're fatigued and you're tired and maybe again also leading to injuries, having somebody that can be like, hey, look, I like the hard work, but we need to focus it on one or two key workouts a week and really have the rest of the time be some recovery miles, some easier miles to allow your body to bounce back from the hard work you're doing. That's important. That's important. And it's something that when Mike was talking about the value of hard work, I was agreeing with everything he said, but it also was just registering in my mind and in the coaching part of my mind that we also need to be reminded that it's intelligent hard work. It's focused hard work on the task at hand, but then accepting that there's times when you need to back off a little bit. You need to listen to your body and be smart so that you don't wind up injured because you're just trying to work all the time and your body eventually breaks down, because it does. If you don't give your body a break, it will break down. So kind of a less takeaway and more just impression, thought. Take it for what you will. Take it, you know, if you disagree with me, disagree with me. That's fine. If you agree with me, that's fine too. But just something that I wanted to point out, something that really stuck to me. And that's the beauty of these takeaways. They can come in a variety of different shapes, different flavors, different moments. And none of them are right. None of them are wrong. They all are just what each of us has. So I would love to know what your takeaway was. Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, you can head to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/437, and leave a comment there for myself and for others to be able to see and learn from and think about and chew on and mull over as well. So that wraps up for today's episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you again to RunningShoesGuru.com for sponsoring today's episode. Again, if you want to get yourself a free pair of, or at least get yourself entered to possibly win a free pair of New Balance Revels, go to RunningShoesGuru.com/giveaways. Links in the show notes. Links is in the album artwork on your phone or device, whatever you listen to this on as well. You just click over, tap the link, and you're good to go. And you can also get yourself a few free extra entries as well. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. We crossed over the hour mark, which don't do very often, but every once in a while the conversations are good, and it just happens. So I hope you enjoyed this one. Have a great rest of your day, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care, guys.